Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien and Chris Sullivan. As you may have heard, the Supreme Court passed up on the opportunity to decide that women ought to have to register for the draft at age 18, just the way men do. And to find out why, let's consult with former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, brought to you by Madrona Financial Services. Rob, why did they pass on this?
Well, as Justice Sotomayor wrote in a statement, which they normally don't issue, they don't normally explain why they deny a review or deny certiorari, but she issued a statement that Justice Kavanaugh joined and Justice Breyer also joins, basically boiling down to the court's, quote, longstanding deference to Congress on matters of national defense and military affairs, but also citing the fact that Congress is actively considering this very issue. Should Selective Service be made gender neutral and apply to everybody in the country? I think the court is not willing to step into this when it's obvious that Congress is thinking about making a change to the law.
Who brought the case before the court?
It's actually brought by the National Coalition for Men and others. Basically, it's men's rights groups. Oh, one of the others is kind of an important one, the ACLU.
Yes.
I'm not clear on whether the argument is that this is unfair to men or it's unfair to women. But one of the arguments that they make in their complaint is that, or in their petition for review, I should say, is that this idea that women can't be drafted, you know, really is not good for them because it sends a message about their role in society and whatnot. But the main argument that they make in the case they brought in the district court and then went to the Fifth Circuit is that the Supreme Court's earlier ruling from 1981, a case called Rosker, in which a challenge to Selective Service being limited to men was also brought. The basis for the Supreme Court's decision upholding that law has changed. See, in 1981, the Supreme Court said, well, men and women are not similarly situated here because women are excluded from combat roles. And because the purpose of the draft is essentially to replace combat losses, they said it doesn't really bear on women because women can't be in combat. Well, that's changed. As Justice Sotomayor noted in her statement, the role of women began to change dramatically back in 1991. And by 2012 or 13, the prohibition against women in combat was officially lifted, or I guess it was as of 2015. So as she's put it, as of 2015, there are no longer any positions in the United States Armed Forces closed to women. So that, according to the petitioners, National Coalition for Men, ACLU, sort of pulls the rug out from under the earlier decision, Rosker, which based its, you know, its ruling on the fact that women were at that time excluded from combat.
Well, that makes sense. And so if they maintain this stance, even though all combat roles are open to women, it does seem to say that just because we open combat roles to women doesn't mean we're serious about actually using them in a real war.
I think the reason that Justice Sotomayor went to the trouble of issuing this statement was to make it clear that not taking review is not a comment on whether women should be in combat. They were just saying, we're going to defer to the legislative branch here. And there was kind of a hint in her statement that, you know, we're watching this. But since Congress seems to be moving in this direction, let's let Congress fix it as a legislative matter and not decide that it's a violation of the Fifth Amendment for women to be excluded, which is essentially what they would have to find, because the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution prohibits the federal government from discriminating on the basis of sex unless there's a, quote, exceedingly persuasive justification. And if women are in combat, it would appear there is no longer a persuasive justification for excluding them from Selective Service.
Okay, so it sounds like that legally anyway, there's a clear path towards drafting women. So what if, let's take it from the other angle, there might be some groups, conservative groups, that say, no, women should not be drafted because they have a special role in, pick your reason, childcare, whatever. That then would probably not have much chance of success.
I don't think it would today, because we've seen that women who have children have served very successfully in the military, including in combat roles. Not incidentally, men have also served very successfully with, you know, while raising children. But it's really the fact that women have shown that they can be effective in every category of military service, regardless of whether they have children. I think that's been a key change in the military.
So is it fair to say that Congress probably will act to draft women and that it will stand up to legal scrutiny?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any constitutional problem if selective service is made gender neutral, because the argument that's being brought in the case the Supreme Court just decided not to hear is that it's discriminatory, that it only applies to men. And that's the same argument that was made in Rotzker v. Goldberg back in 1981, where several young men who were subject to the draft registration requirement challenged it as unlawful sex discrimination. If you make it gender neutral, then by definition, there's no discrimination based on sex.
All right. Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Rob, thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Dave.
For your weather on this Thanksgiving, it is raining right now. It looks like, according to the radar, some of that rain has moved off of the I-5/405 corridor. So just be mindful of standing rain or standing puddles of rain, of course. On my way in this morning, there was certainly a lot of attempted hydroplaning. It's just going to be a rainy Thanksgiving. So if you have a family flag football event planned, wear your galoshes. Highs today will be around 49 degrees. It's 43 right now outside the Carter Subaru studio. Coming up, move over Turkey. There's a new star in town.
You ever think you'd be making jackfruit tacos for your lunch?
Absolutely not. 4 years ago, I didn't think I would have been vegan. Who knew?
Ooh, jackfruit. Such a good alternative. You're listening to Cairo Radio. Good to have you with us on this Thanksgiving morning. Hopefully you're sleeping in, but for those of you listening, we appreciate you being here. While the turkey may be the star of the show on many tables today, plant-based meat alternatives are taking up more and more of the spotlight. CBS's Ben Tracy figures out why more people are eating their veggies.
Did you ever think you'd be making jackfruit tacos for your lunch?
Absolutely not. 4 years ago, I didn't think I would have been vegan. Who knew?
If you were looking for someone to spread the gospel of plant-based eating,
ain't that something how life can change?
Tabitha Brown would have been an unlikely messenger.
What was the kind of food that you grew up on?
Honey, I grew up on everything. I'm from North Carolina, child. I done ate a little bit of things I should not have eaten. A lot of fried food, a lot of pork and beef, chicken, of course.
So what did you think of vegans?
I honestly thought that's for white people, particularly white women who do yoga and maybe they're in a cult. But that's what Tab thought. It's just a way of thinking.
Tabitha Brown now believes giving up all animal products and going vegan herself is what finally ended her bouts of chronic pain and fatigue.
Hello there.
But she never could have imagined what would also happen.
And boy, did things happen. I could have never dreamt this or thought of this. Let's make some.
She took her daughter's advice and started posting videos on TikTok.
Ooh, baby.
A healthy mix of what to eat.
I'm about to make carrot bacon.
Seasoned with a dash of how to live.
Even if you can't have a good one, don't you dare go messing up nobody else's hen.
The videos have racked up millions of views. She now has a best-selling book, Feeding the Soul, and several corporate partnerships.
My goal is not to judge anyone or force my lifestyle on anyone. My goal is simply to share what it did for me. And representation matters, right? So now when people think of vegan, they also think of a black woman with afro, okay?
Just 5% of U.S. households are vegan or vegetarian. But these days, there are plenty you might call plant curious. Many omnivores are now swapping out some meat for vegetables.
Make you dance a little bit.
In a diet often called plant-based.
That's really good.
Or even.
It doesn't taste like fruit at all.
Flexitarian.
Plant-based eating is a huge trend.
Marie Moldy is a food trends analyst at Datacential. She says about 25% of Americans now eat a flexitarian diet, and that plant-based is one of the fastest growing terms on restaurant menus, up nearly 3,000% in just the past 4 years. A lot of that is thanks to plant-based meat alternatives. Beyond and Impossible Burgers have proven it's possible to make plants taste like meat. Innovation now spreading throughout the supermarket.
Name any animal protein or animal product, and now there's a plant-based alternative.
71% of consumers have tried a plant-based meat, and more than half say they're willing to pay more for it.
There really are two major reasons why people are turning to plant-based foods. The first is health. And the second reason, and this is a major one, is that plant-based eating is thought to be better for our planet and better for the environment.
Global food production produces a third of all human-caused greenhouse gas emissions, contributing to climate change. And raising animals for food, especially cows, accounts for nearly twice as much planet-warming emissions as plant-based foods.
No one wants to be told what not to do. They want to be given a solution.
Ross Mackay is the co-founder and CEO of Daring Foods, a company creating plant-based chicken products headquartered in California, far from Mackay's native Scotland.
They kicked me out when I stopped eating Scotch beef.
I gave up eating red meat, but I still eat a ton of chicken.
Yeah.
Are you trying to convert people from real chicken to this?
Our mission is, of course, to rethink chicken from the food system. How do we do that? We go after the chicken lover. It's to go after you.
The average American eats about 100 pounds of chicken every year. That's 8 billion chickens, mostly raised in large factory farms. Daring's chicken product is made from soy protein.
This sounds ridiculous to say, but tastes like chicken.
And designed to replicate the texture of the real thing.
That really does have the same texture and taste as chicken. This is almost like skin.
Daring launched its first product into the already crowded alternative chicken market less than 2 years ago. It's now in more than 6,000 retail stores.
So what is the chicken product you feel like you need to come up with to really disrupt this market?
The chicken cutlet is very much the holy grail of chicken. From an innovation perspective, it's the toughest to go after. But we're at the first innings of this. We're barely just getting started.
But Ron Neusbacher wonders, what if we just simply enjoyed
classic hummus,
eating our vegetables?
People want real food, and real food should just be real food and not pretend to be something that it's not.
He's the founder of Shuk, a chain of Israeli street food restaurants in Washington, D.C., where the food, including their famous Shuk burger, is proudly plant-forward.
So the objective is to reconnecting people with the plant world and eating more vegetables and grains and seeds, then why go through all this effort to hide it as something different? Our philosophy is to do exactly the opposite, is to actually demonstrate to people experientially that the cauliflower can taste amazing.
Neusbacher says protecting the planet for future generations is his motivation to put plants at the center of our plates.
I have two young kids, and unlike Elon Musk, I don't want my kids or my future grandkids growing up on Mars because we destroyed this planet. There's a misconception that the solution to climate change is buying a Tesla. The solution to climate change starts with reducing the amount of meat that we eat and eating more vegetables.
I have cooked with jackfruit, and I have to say it's quite delicious. Sometimes they're sold at Costco, so widely available to anybody who can get them. It is 5:40 of coming up next. Ooh, we have a special guest coming up. Mike Salk will join us to talk about today's perfect pairing, food and football. You're listening to Cairo Radio. Seattle's Morning News with Dave Ross. Good morning. I'm Colleen O'Brien, and happy Thanksgiving to you. I know for some, Thanksgiving is all about the family and the food. For some, yes, it is about shopping. Others, it's all about the football, whether you're playing flag football with family or you have it on the TV. I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess that Mike Salk is one of those people. We have Mike from 710 ESPN and the Mike Salk Show with us this morning. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Colleen. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. And to you, too. Did I guess right? Are you a football Thanksgiving person?
Well, I mean, I like it so much, I decided to make it my career. So, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, today
I don't know.
Is definitely a day.
You as more of like a Mariners guy than a football guy.
Well, I'm a little of everything. I mean, we talk football 12 months a year. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all sports all the time. That's what the job is. And And the reason is because, yeah, on Thanksgiving, you get a little food and then you just lie in front of the television watching game after game after game and kind of snooze the whole thing off. It's always been perfect. Unfortunately, I don't know how great the games are today. It's kind of like three games of teams that are all kind of cold coming in. So you're not looking at like necessarily great football, but that's okay. That is good napping football. And so, you know, you get a little of that tryptophan in and, you know, no Seahawks game. The Seahawks look like they're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. And you can just kind of shut the eyes a little bit and drift on off to sleep for a little while.
Well, that answers my question, because I was wondering if they save good matchups for Thanksgiving, considering so many people watch it on TV, but it sounds like no.
Well, a couple of things. One, Detroit always plays on Thanksgiving. It's a tradition. The Lions always have a Thanksgiving game, and the Lions are probably the worst franchise in the NFL, maybe in professional sports.
Why?
So they just are. They're just poorly run. They have no success. They don't even have a win yet this year. They're the only team in the history of the league to go 0-16. I mean, they're just a bad franchise.
Well, why don't they give a team to another city then if they're doing so bad?
Well, it's not quite that simple. I mean, like, they love them in Detroit. They show up, they cheer for them. It's not the fans' fault. Like, you're not going to punish the fans by taking their team away.
I would.
Well, okay. That seems really...
Just to shake it up, Mike, just to make NFL more interesting.
All right, well, that seems a little rough for the Detroit fans. All they're doing is showing up and rooting for their miserable team. But for whatever reason, they're always the Thanksgiving game. That's tradition. Okay. Dallas is always plays on Thanksgiving, and you know, that may end up being the best game of the day. Dallas sort of an okay team. So, look, we'll find out. We'll see.
Okay. That's the one to watch, though, if you're going to watch one football game. Raiders at Cowboys.
Yeah, Dallas probably the best of the teams that are playing. Dak Prescott is good and fun quarterback to watch and good guy. And he's got a lot of Russell Wilson to him, actually. I mean, like, there's a lot of I see of all the quarterbacks in the league. There's a little to Kyler Murray, who's the starting quarterback in Arizona. He was hurt this past week. But I see a lot of Russ and Dak. And you know, for a lot of these younger quarterbacks that move the way Dak Prescott does, that Kyler Murray does, I think a lot of them owe some of their success to Russell Wilson blazing a trail for them. Not that he was the first mobile quarterback, but he was one of the first to kind of, hey, he's shorter than the rest. He showed the league a different way of doing business. And I think it opened a lot of doors for some of the players that have come after him.
Well, okay, then why are you scoffing at my new way of doing business, which is if a team's not successful, move them?
Well, again, I mean, it's a lot of money.
You're just heaping praise on Russell Wilson, and I'm trying to shake it up, and you're like...
I appreciate the shakeup. I think that may be a bridge too far even for me. Sorry.
It would be a different world under Colleen O'Brien.
I'm going to try to come up with a good political comparison here, but I think those actually exist. Like in other countries, when the government's not working, they just shake it up and dissolve it and form a new one. So maybe I'm walking right into your trap here, Colleen.
I would be a terrible dictator. Mm. I'm curious, though, going back to this whole tradition of the Lions playing on Thanksgiving, how does a tradition like that start?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it's just sort of always been there. It's Thanksgiving and the Lions play. Like, that's just sort of what happens. And generally they lose because they're the Lions. That's just sort of the normal way things have always worked. I think Chicago and Dallas have also traditionally played games on Thanksgiving. I don't know what the reason is. And maybe there was an owner, you know, back in the day who wanted that game or was willing to do it or whatever. But it's just always kind of been a thing. And in general, I will say I do like traditions in sports and things that happen every time and things that you can just sort of like hang your hat on. Like, you know, every year this is going to occur. So I'm in favor of a good tradition like this,
yeah,
especially
same.
On Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's all tradition.
It is. Okay, so speaking of traditions, Mike, I got to know, like, what's your dish? What's your family's thing? How do you do Thanksgiving?
Well, so here's the thing, Colleen. Small family now. It's just, you know, my wife and two kids. So after years of, you know, my mom cooking Thanksgiving and, you know, I love the stuffing is probably my number one favorite. I love stuffing.
But
I like
stovetop or do you like fancy homemade?
I actually had to make it last year and it's just the Pepperidge Farm, whatever, like the recipe on the bag of the Pepperidge Farm. Like, okay. Buy the bag of Pepperidge Farm. It's a one step up from stovetop, but it's not fancy.
I survived on stovetop for so long in college that to me, it's like comfort food.
I totally get that. But this is like Thanksgiving. You got to go special. So I'll probably go with the tons of butter that goes into the Pepperidge Farm. But I will tell you, I've become a restaurant Thanksgiving guy.
Oh, we've done that. We used to do that every other year in my family.
You know what happens? At the end of your meal, somebody takes away all the dishes and it goes away.
And people are like, wonderful. What about leftovers? We'll just take leftovers from the restaurant.
Well, you're not allowed to do that because for the most part, they do buffets. So you can't like take the leftovers after that.
But you could like make another plate.
You can't
be like, oops,
do that.
I got too full.
No, that's stealing. That's what's called stealing, Colleen.
Is it? You paid for it?
No, you paid for the amount that you could eat, not the amount that you're taking with you.
I'm going to have to do like a Twitter poll or a text poll on this because I do not believe it's stealing.
I don't think you could take away if it's a buffet. In any event... I make a couple dishes at home so that we still have some leftovers, but
okay.
I want zero work. Just if the food's better. I'm not a good cook. Come take the food away or the dishes and do all the work and I'll just show up, eat it, get dressed up and then leave. So then leave
and fall asleep.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I want to do. So here you go. I have your information on the Lions. You ready?
Okay.
It started on Thanksgiving 1934. When owner George Richards decided to play on the holiday to attract more fans. I got it right. That was my guess. That's basically what I said. He was known for his marketing acumen, and his Thanksgiving plan was an immediate hit. Everybody loved the Lions. For whatever reason, they weren't attracting much of a crowd at the time. The Tigers were the city's big sports attraction. But on that Thanksgiving, everybody paid attention to the Lions. They've been doing it ever since.
The most popular loser team in the history of the NFL.
There you go. That's the Lions.
All because they'll put on their tap shoes for us on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thank you for the history lesson and enjoy your Thanksgiving with your family.
Absolutely.
Mike.
You too, Colleen.
I'm going to put that out on Twitter. Is it stealing if you get an extra plate and want to take it home as leftovers, or is that fair game? I'm willing to be wrong, but I also think that leftovers are part of the joy of Thanksgiving. So why wouldn't you want to figure out a way? Anyway, I'll put that on Twitter if you're interested in playing the game. A popular song just hit a major milestone. CBS's Monica Ricks reports.
The Weeknd's song Blinding Lights has officially become the biggest Billboard single of all time. The 2019 hit spent 90 weeks on the Hot 100 chart, finally hitting number one in March of 2020. As for the previous Billboard record holder,
ladies and gentlemen, here's Chubby Checker. Come on,
baby. Chubby Checker's hit The Twist also spent 90 weeks on the charts after its release in 1960. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Wow, that's a huge one to break. A sharp right turn into UFOs. The Pentagon has announced plans to form a new group to investigate reports of UFOs in restricted airspace. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon with the story.
Yes, it's really a thing. In fact, a recent government report finds 144 unwelcomed and unidentified objects, which we refer to as UFOs. The new group that will be looking into it is called the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. Quite a mouthful. It will be overseen by the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and other entities that are part of the Department of Defense. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
It's going to be a rainy and breezy Thanksgiving. More news straight ahead. This is Cairo Radio.